It's good to be with you. The Holy Spirit is active and alive in this place. Many of you are wearing red. It's Pentecost Sunday, and that's a sign of the tongues of fire, which came to rest upon the disciples who then spread the word. They did not stay in the upper room. When the Holy Spirit came upon them, out they went. And it's our mission as the church to do the same, that we don't keep all of the good things of the Holy Spirit, all of the blessings to ourselves, we give them away. And we point others always toward Jesus Christ. A few housekeeping notes to bring to your attention. General Conference is ongoing this week and this last week. If they can ever get together to agree on what rules they're going to follow, they might get something done. But who knows? Who knows? General conferences come and go, but the Holy Spirit remains, and I believe will be faithful to the calling of this church to make disciples for Jesus Christ and to just reach out to our community in a way that brings revival to Winbur and to all the surrounding area. I believe that. So this is the week where you'll read a newspaper about the United Methodist Church. And it probably will be divisive and divisive and any other words you can think of to talk about how awful things are in the church. But don't worry about that stuff. We're focused on Jesus Christ, who will see us through whatever situations we can come up with. So wanted to get that taken care of. The other thing that's on our hearts is the trustee fund, which we had an offering for on a couple Sundays ago. And you can still give to the trustee fund. If you have the little yellow envelopes or the pink envelopes, you can still give to that. We raised about $1,600 in our first offering, and hopefully much more to come. The trustees do a lot of work, and they need those funds to keep the building looking as good as it can and to allow access. Which brings us to another point. The trustees have been in a period of discernment over the last few months on how to make this building as accessible to everyone as possible, particularly if you are in a wheelchair or have a handicapped condition. How can we make this building more accessible? And that led us to focus on our restrooms, which are spacious and wonderful, but at the same time, try to get a wheelchair into them. It's almost impossible. The doors are too small, and there's a sharp curve in the ladies' room. If you walk into the ladies' room, you're facing a wall right away, and you can't turn a wheelchair in there. I was trying to get a wheelchair in there. Obama says I can do it now. It's just anyhow, what we are seeking to do as a church is to increase our access to the restrooms. And that led us to a period of discernment on what do we do with that. Well, number of things, a snowball of things has happened. Years ago, this church raised a significant portion of money to have a building fund. And that building fund has sat idle for about 10 years now. And while it has done that, it hasn't been just sitting there by itself. It's been collecting interest. And we have a substantial amount of money to do improvements to the church building. One of those improvements needs to be our fire safety system. We don't need to have the sprinklers, but we need to have a way to let people know if there's a fire in the building. That both will tell you with your ears and with your eyes that there's a fire. You know, one of those systems that will blink when there's a fire. So that if you can't hear, you'll at least know that there's a problem because the lights are flashing. We got to take care of that. Our discernment has led us to believe that the restrooms that we have over here, we can't do much with. They're pretty much set as they are. But there's a little restroom over here that's in the past called the pastor's restroom, and thankfully that's open to everyone. Here's what we, as the trustees and as I, your pastor, are thinking. Couple of things. We need more storage space. The things that are being held in the boiler room where we store stuff, that's against the law. we can't have things in that boiler room. A boiler room is supposed to hold what? A boiler and nothing else. And having things in there is really unsafe. It could cause a fire, which is why we need a system to tell us that's coming. The other thing, our gas well out here, buried in the backyard, is broken. And we always have to keep a supply of gas in there, and that is a waste of money too. And so, a couple of things. We need storage space, we need to move the gas tank and replace it, and our secretary is back here in a dark corner of the church, where if someone comes into the church, the secretary sometimes has no idea that they're in the building, because they're in the corner off by themselves. So we have a problem with access, we have a problem with restrooms, problem with the heat, the boiler, and a problem with that gas well. So the trustees said, okay, in our period of discernment, how can we handle all of these at once? Here's what we're thinking. What's that? Not tear the church down and start all over. We have an area back here behind the church that if we could extend the building outward from the boiler room to the office and back this way, some portion of space, that would provide us, first of all, to move the tank underground to a better spot that'll be replaced, that we won't have to store however many gallons of oil in the ground anymore. It will allow us access. We will take this restroom and turn it into a dedicated handicapped accessible restroom, put a secretary's office and the pastor's office in that extension, and also have a storage space in that little wing as well. Does that make sense? Extend the building out a certain amount of space gives us a place to put the secretary and the pastor where they're in one place. Allow anybody who's coming into the building for the secretary to be able to see them. That would be handicapped accessible entrance into the place. It would cover up this sidewalk back here where the ice comes down. A lot of things to think about. And that's been the discernment of the trustees. And so now we'll turn that over to to you, the church, and to the board called the COPA, which handles the administration of the church. If you have questions, if you have concerns, if you have comments, this is a great time to bring those to me, to the trustees, to the board, and among each other to think about how God is calling us to use both our resources and our building as faithfully as possible. We want to have this place be open to anybody who wants to walk in the place or be rolled into the place if necessary. And that's been the discernment of the trustees. Maybe your discernment's different. That's all right. Yeah, we're allowed to have different ideas and to together come up with a plan that works for as many folks as possible. Will we all 100% agree with how things go? Who knows? Maybe. Holy Spirit can do amazing things, but we'll see. So next week, specifically next week, immediately following church, I'll have a moment where we can come together up here and we can talk about it. We can talk about how's the Holy Spirit working in your heart? And does that sound like a plan that your discernment says, yeah, that's the right thing to do? Or is that in your discernment, no, I don't think that's quite where we need to go, and here's an alternative? Be thinking of that. And next week, immediately following church, I'll have a time where we can get together, we can talk about this and work it out. But I wanted you to be fully aware of the discernment of the trustees and myself on where we'd like to see the resources of the church going to help as many people as possible. Make sense? I hope so. That's a lot to throw at you at one time, but just know that it's in the works. We're trying to process that through. And now we are in this season called Pentecost. And we've been talking since Easter, and even before that, of the great work of Jesus Christ, his resurrection and his ascension into heaven, and now his sending of the Holy Spirit with great power upon the church. And we can't really talk about Pentecost without going all the way back in the scripture to Genesis, where we find this little story, and maybe it's familiar to you. The whole world had one language, Genesis chapter 11 says. As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and tar and mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men had built. The Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language, so they will not understand each other." So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. Familiar story? The story of this tower that's being built. And God is not anti-architect. You know, just building that tower was not what God was angry about. The people in those days thought that if you went far enough into the sky, you would bump into the sky. They thought it was solid. They thought you'd go far enough and you hit the ceiling. And the people decided, we're going to build this tower, not so that we can build a great big tower. What we want to do is get to heaven and break through the ceiling. And why? To go meet God? To go say hi to God? No. Their temptation was the same temptation that Adam and Eve faced. Their temptation is the same temptation that we all face. I want to be my own God. I want to have it, as Burger King says, my way. And if I can replace God in my life, then I don't need to listen to God anymore. I can have it my own way. And I can do whatever I want to do without anybody bothering me. And so the building of that tower, as the people gathered together, was to replace God. We won't listen to God anymore. We'll do it our own way. How well does that usually work out? Not very well. Think of this. Before Jesus' time, before even King David's time, if you wanted to kill somebody far away, you had to take a rock and throw it at them. And so people designed ways that we can throw that rock faster. Slingshot. Remember David? We'll talk about David this coming summer. David takes a rock, whoop, hits Goliath from afar. Wow, that's great. Can we find a faster, better way to get that rock to hit that guy faster? Pull the string far enough, zip, send an arrow. That worked for a couple thousand years. And then we discovered that we could take a little rock, we could make a little explosion, and poof! Well, we can kill from far away now, and we use those weapons to kill each other, because that's what we humans do. And we discovered that if we make a rock big enough and an explosion big enough, we can really do some damage to somebody far away. So we come up with cannons and bombs. And then we discover that if we make a bomb big enough, we can destroy an entire city with one bomb. And then that's not even enough. And so we discover ways to make those bombs big enough that we can destroy each other from afar with the press of a button. That's what we humans do when we put our minds to it. We came up with a term throughout the Cold War called mutually assured destruction, where if Russia launches their missiles, we'll launch our missiles, and between the two of us, we'll wipe out humanity. God knows this about us. And so what does God do? God prevents us from becoming our own gods. God prevents us from mutually assured destruction. But God intercedes even in the midst of that curse of the mixing of our languages. And God does a new thing. God unites God's people through the power of the Holy Spirit. So that though we are here in this place of different ethnicities, maybe our great-great-grandparents or our grandparents spoke different languages, even though we may come at different political perspectives, a liberal, conservative, and Democrat, Republican, all of these different things, in Christ's body, the church, all of those differences can be brought together into one body. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. Listen, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly the sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. God has removed the curse of our mixed languages. Now there were staying in Jerusalem many God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd together in bewilderment came because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are these men not all Galileans? How is it that each of us hears in his own language?" And it goes through a list of many nations and Christians' favorites. The Cretans were there. All of these different people coming together and experiencing the movement of the Holy Spirit in a new and mighty way, so that these people who were once separated by God are brought together in God's body, Christ's body, the church. A new thing taking place where even though we are different, even though we may think differently, even though we may come from different nationalities, together in the church, we can do great things. Where we can build not mutually assured destruction, but Spirit-led grace. Where, as Christ's body, the church, we can do the amazing things, the great things that we heard about in the children's moment. Jesus said, "You'll do even more things exceedingly more than I've done during my time on earth." And as Christ's body, the church, empowered by the Holy Spirit, we can do that. Let's look at Romans. It's on the screen as well. "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration." God himself frustrated it. "Not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God." Pentecost continues, friends. We're part of it. We are part of the undoing of that curse. We are part of God's plan in this place and around the world. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time, and it continues today. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons and daughters, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? Anybody here ever get a Christmas present that was something you already owned? What do you do with it? You take it back to the store. You already have it. But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. That's the coming of the Holy Spirit, friends. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Jesus is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now I can start my sermon. No, just kidding. So, what is our message? That we want to be our own gods. But thanks be to God, there is already a God. And God reveals God's own self to us in the Holy Spirit. When the temptation comes to make ourselves bigger than God, sometimes God knocks us back down to earth. And that's certainly what happened in the Babel story. But thanks be to God, God is not willing to let us just sit there on the ground, but in the power of the Holy Spirit, lifts us up, and brings us through Jesus Christ and his blood into the kingdom of God. God loves you, and so do I. Amen.